Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are reimagining the future of customer relationships, how we build them, how we keep them, and how we continue to lead as customer expectations rapidly evolve. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Kathy McCrony.
And we are going to have an incredible conversation today. Kathy, let's get right into it. What is your hot take?
So I'm really passionate about bold leadership, and AI and human impact related to that. So my hot take is that AI isn't going to disrupt your business. It's the fear of change that will. And I see way too many companies that are waiting for certainty. And right now in this environment where we more than ever, speed, clarity, and experimentation are what are really helping companies stand out and differentiate themselves in the marketplace. Stanford's Human-Centered AI Institute, which is not too far from where I am here in California, they're seeing really clear evidence that companies who embed AI into their decision-making, not just their operations, but overall, are seeing much higher performance and innovation. And at Kinaxis, which is the company where I work, we've seen firsthand how AI is really helping supply chains move from reactive to predictive and creating business impact way beyond automation. And I recently was in Dublin, Ireland, and joined over 50 chief operating officers, chief supply chain officers. And the message that we heard from executives there was loud and clear. And that's that AI is now a boardroom conversation. And if AI isn't part of your strategy today, then you're already behind. I'll say I'm also really fascinated on a personal level on how AI is transforming our day-to-day lives. I use ChatGPT multiple times a day, and more and more it feels like every day, from quickly, pulling together drafts of messaging, agendas, just day-to-day work, to planning a recent, trip to Europe and another one to Japan. It's just so cool how you can use it to get a truly customized agenda, like what city should you go to? How do you get from places? What restaurants should you pick? And I'm a vegetarian, so which restaurants can accommodate me, but also others who are not vegetarians at the same time. So it's just amazing. Within seconds, you can literally ask ChatGPT to provide this and continue to iterate, and it keeps getting obviously better and smarter. I also love hearing about new apps. Like, I just heard about this one called Alta that lets you scan your wardrobe, all the clothes in your wardrobe, and it literally will suggest outfits based on the occasion. Like, you could say, I'm going to a birthday party, and, the attendees are, a certain age, and it's this kind of a theme, and it'll literally pick pieces of your wardrobe that will match that. It's kind of like, going back a ways, but the movie Clueless.
Was immediately what came to my mind. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I get to live my Clueless dreams. Oh my goodness.
That's right.
No, I'm downloading that app for sure.
Yeah,
I want to come back to something you said. First of all, ChatGPT is amazing, and it's changing the way that we exist in this world. So my husband was using Outlook. His email, the calendar invite emails weren't coming to his email. So he was like showing up to meetings that people had declined because he wasn't seeing the responses come through. Mm-hmm. And he had Googled it, and he had gone through the Microsoft help site. And one night I said, oh, let me just ask ChatGPT. And I explained to ChatGPT the situation. I said, troubleshoot with me. Take me through all of the steps. Within 5 minutes, we had solved it. We'd fixed it. There was some setting that got changed, but yes. Google couldn't do it. We couldn't find it in the documentation. We even asked Copilot, which you would think would know everything about Microsoft Outlook. And yet ChatGPT was the one who ended up getting us through it. Right. And that's a good example of improving our productivity, because we wasted an hour when it could have simply been solved. But I want to go back even further to something you said kind of in your opening hot take about change management and the importance of that. Because I think a lot of companies are falling into the trap of, okay, well, if I don't have AI in my strategy, I'm already behind, and I don't want to be behind. So therefore, we're just going to slap AI on everything that we do with no thought about how we actually integrate that into our solution. And we see companies do this with every new tool that comes on the market, not just AI. But I feel like AI is a bigger story because we're all trying to do it. So tell us, take us through that process. When you're thinking about bold leadership, and especially when it comes to change management and AI and improving our productivity, how do we actually go about making sure we're doing this the right way and not just kind of fumbling through it?
Yeah. So two immediate thoughts. One is AI and technology always should be in service of or in benefit of something. So thinking about the broader transformation and strategy that you are driving as a company is key. For example, if you are looking to end-to-end transform your supply chain and have full visibility from supply through demand, what kinds of technologies would enable you to do that? So I'm being very clear on what your objectives are, what your gaps are, what capabilities you need, and then going to the technology versus finding a cool technology and then trying to figure out how it might fit in, right? So it always starts with the business drivers and strategy and the priorities first. The other key thing I would say is people are the key component. People are what really bring it to life. And there's a lot of fear right now around AI replacing people. And of course, there are jobs that are being impacted. However, it's also enabling people to do their work in a much better way. And it is completely transforming the types of jobs. And it's really enabling people in the best way to focus on the more strategic work. It also means reskilling of some of the workforce because there are jobs that are impacted and those individuals need to be, have different skills and different education. All of that is so important. But at the end of the day, really thoughtful plans around the impact on people in organizations and how that's going to be a key part of a successful implementation of a solution is imperative from the outset.
Unfortunately, though, it feels like, from my perspective, doing all of that hard work where you have to like go back to the strategy and go back to the business objectives and go back to figuring out like in service of something, in service of what? Like, that's not nearly as fun or sexy as just like having a new product roll out, right? And I think a lot of people skip that step, even though I believe it's probably the most foundational thing you can do for your business as a whole, regardless of what tool you're adopting.
100%. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think people do get enticed by something that appears at surface to be just really, really cool and sexy, and they will adopt it. And then they realize that maybe if they had just taken a minute to step back and think about their business objectives and what they're trying to achieve before making that evaluation and decision, that they would have been in a much better position. Because technology, there's no question, any new technology is, especially in a large organization like an enterprise, very hard to drive successful adoption. And in fact, in most cases, a lot of technologies are not successfully adopted and fail for that reason. Companies don't realize the results that they had intended to achieve, more cases than not. So again, taking that step back, really thinking about it, being very thoughtful around what you're trying to achieve and then what technology is the right one. And then also working with, companies and partners that are very knowledgeable in this area and can help with that adoption are key too.
Yeah, there's an entire like secret industry that if you're not in the know, you wouldn't even know is happening. But all this adoption industry where, you buy a software and that's great, but what does that actually mean for your organization? And I'm an early adopter and I enjoy new technologies. So for me, it never occurred to me that there would need to be a process for getting people to adopt a new tool. Like, oh my God, it's a new tool. I'm so excited. That's my personality. But obviously, I'm not even in the middle of that bell curve that we see in that adoption curve. So when you're thinking about leaders, whether they're at a huge organization or a small company, what do you think is their biggest blind spot when it comes to the future of customer relationships and what we're all trying to build here?
I would think the biggest obstacle with adoption is, you need to have one of the biggest ones and probably the most critical is you really need to have a very strong influencer and advocate in the business who believes in the transformation, the reason for the transformation, and has the influence in the organization that that can drive the adoption. Without that vision and having somebody at the helm, it doesn't necessarily have to be, by the way, the CEO. It could be somebody else, you know, but that person needs to be well respected. People need to, you know, believe in that person's vision, and they need to have the influence and impact to be able to successfully get others aligned around it. Without that alignment and having a very thoughtful, again, kind of cadence and way of driving that change throughout the organization, AI adoption, just like any other technology, won't be successful. And I think AI is probably even more complex maybe than even some of the other technologies, because the amount of attention it's gotten and the fear that's been built around it is probably even more so than any technology, you know, to date.
And I feel like the evolution that it's going through is so rapid. Like, I feel like I open up my news alerts every other week and it's like, oh, there's some new model out, there's some new functionality. I just got to notice that ChatGPT now has agents so that it can write emails for you and send them on your behalf. And I was playing with Gemini yesterday, and apparently you can type in and say, I need to add an event to my calendar every day for the next 30 days. Here is a list of my kids' baseball tournaments. Can you make calendar events? And it will just make all of those calendar events for you.
Yes.
Instead, when me just like tediously creating the event, I'm like, oh my God, this is a life changer. But because of that rapid evolution of the solution, a lot of people who aren't paying attention are maybe like not staying up on top of it. And it can feel very overwhelming when you first try to get into it, especially if you're a little bit afraid of it.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And, you know, I equated a lot to learning a new sport. I'm very passionate about adventure sports like snowboarding and surfing. And those are things that I've taken up within the last 15 years. I didn't take them
That's
up
awesome.
Earlier. And each of those for me was really daunting and scary at first. And I had a lot of injuries and things, you know, in the beginning from it. But, you know, it's once you start doing it, just like with AI, once you start using it, you start seeing the benefits and you slowly, you know, get over that initial learning curve, so to speak. It's amazing. And like you're describing, and I've talked about, you know, some of the ways I'm using AI, not just in my personal life, but in business. It's transformational. And once you start using it, you know, you can't stop and you become so dependent. And then you can't imagine, frankly, what your life was like before you had it.
Yeah. And it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be in it. I am curious to see how, as we see like the rise of enterprise AI and mm-hmm. companies using AI inside their organization, what do you think that's going to mean for, you know, like the partner communities and those who aren't necessarily on the inside, but still are part of that ecosystem? Is there room for them to be a part of that enterprise experience? Do they have to build their own systems? What does that look like from a partner and a field perspective to you?
Yeah, well, so partners are 100% a critical piece of it. And we talked about the change management side of it and that being the most difficult aspect. And at Kinaxis, you know, we have close to 100 partners, if you include, you know, system integrators, hyperscalers, VARs, et cetera, solution extension partners. And they play a really critical role in a number of ways, one of which is, you know, they are, one, a extension of our sales team helping to advocate and educate people about, you know, how our solution might be able to help businesses. But more also, equally importantly, once companies decide to implement the solutions, they're also working very closely with them on the successful adoption of it. So to your point, has it changed? Has AI changed how they're working? Sure, but they've always been involved in, you know, helping ensure successful adoption of technologies within companies. They're usually very, very close to the senior leadership teams, helping to make sure there's alignment with their strategy and their business goals. And that absolutely continues. So I see the role of partners continuing in an equally important and critical way. It just their focus is shifting a bit in terms of the technologies that they might be working with.
So if someone wants to start, you know, really thinking about their ecosystem, about their partners, or about implementing an AI strategy, what is the one thing that you would have them start doing? What should they do first?
With ecosystem partners? I would say, you know, that similar to kind of how I would describe the how you think about technology, you know, you think about, again, what are you trying to achieve? And, you know, what can, if you're working, for example, with a technology company and or, you know, your current trusted advisor or partner, you know, taking a step back and thinking about, you know, what you're trying to achieve, how, you know, having the insights and the intelligence, which is really what AI is about, right? It's about cutting through all the data and in a much more seamless and frankly, effective way, really pulling the key insights and intelligence from the, all of that data. So your partner and or the technology company that you're working with or both can really help figure out what's the right solution, what's the right, you know, plan to be able to integrate the different parts of the solution to address your company's greatest priorities. And often it's a multi-phased approach, right? Any good solution provider will obviously take a step back, really truly understand what your business needs and come up with a recommended solution that will best fit your needs. And the partner, again, as I mentioned, is a key piece of it.
So I'm going to ask you to put your futurist hat on for a second. What do you think is going to be the impact on AI? Because you talked about bold leadership, right? So when we're talking about like bold, customer-centric approach to customer relationships, how do you think AI is going to change how we do that? Whether that's in sales, marketing, post-sales, like what does the future look like when it comes to customer centricity and AI?
I believe that AI and one of the amazing elements of it is it cuts through, I think, a lot of steps to be able to understand your customers and their needs better. Some might say that this is where it can be also a little scary and intimidating for people. But for example, anytime you want to reach out or work with a customer, you can, you know, using AI, not only find out a lot of information. So for example, you could have it run an analysis of all their recent financial reports and what are the key themes and what are they talking about? What are their careabouts, right? To me, it helps you in a very quick way understand the nuts and bolts of what a company cares about so that when you do have conversations with them, you know what their priorities are, right? And that helps to me, again, you know, cut through some of what normally would take probably multiple conversations and or having, you know, a dedicated research team that was looking for all that information. It's all public. It's all out there. But within seconds, literally seconds, you can find out the careabouts of your customers, what they've reported, you know, what are they saying, for example, in our case about their supply chains, et cetera. And you cut through that to get much closer to your customers in a much, much shorter amount of time. So I think there's that piece. The other part of it is with obviously agentic AI and all of the other things that you mentioned before, it's making, it's really bringing a much more human element to everything that we do. So, you know, Siri is a perfect example because everybody's using it all of the time, or ChatGPT now. You talked about some of the more advanced capabilities that it has, but as it starts to ask you questions and it starts to take on, frankly, more of a almost a human-like persona, it's very interesting to see how it's also, to me, making, you know, it's bringing a human element more to it, which to me also engages the customer and makes them feel like it's a much more personal experience.
Yeah, I think that's especially important because we did a series of research studies with conversations with sellers and about what their week looks like. And We found that on average, sellers were spending 25 to 30 hours a week researching and putting together reports for their managers or for internal conversations or to update CRM or whatever it was. And when you think of sellers, the last thing I want them is spending time, you know, like they have to know what they're talking about, but it shouldn't be 75% of their week when they should be talking to customers and trying to close deals. And so I love the idea of taking that very tedious process, because we all know if it's tedious, it's not happening.
Right.
And making so that it actually does happen and that you come in armed with something that can feel relevant and specific to a customer without having to have an entire team dedicated to filling in those gaps.
Yes, 100%.
So thinking about all of the incredible people that you've had a chance to meet or to learn from or that you would love to meet someday, who is leading the charge? Who is changing the way we think about customer relationships?
Yeah. So for customer relationships and just in general, there's a couple of people I would mention. You know, I just in general, you know, I find inspiration in different people. So it's hard to pinpoint it down to a few, to be honest, because throughout my day, I am always finding new sources of inspiration around me. You know, one of the people that really impresses me, I talked about Stanford and their High Institute, is Dr. Fei-Fei Li, one of the leaders over there. And she says something, a quote, you know, AI is not just about intelligence. It's about augmenting humanity. And to me, that's a really powerful quote. And it encapsulates what I think what we've been talking about, which is, you know, it's bringing out the best in people and their capabilities and the insights that they have, but connecting all of those dots in a much faster way than any individual human could on their own. So I think that's one piece of it. And then in terms of, you know, the customer experience and how it relates to that, again, you know, customer experience to me is about having something that feels like it's very personal and that it's meeting what you want and you need in the most effective and efficient way possible. There's nothing that could do that better than having the insights and intelligence about each individual and what they want, right? And that's one of the things that, you know, again, it can bridge on sometimes, I think, where fear comes in for people. They're worried, that all of these things are in the cloud and are known about them. But at the same time, it's amazing when you are engaging or working with a company and they already have your preferences. They already know what you want and you don't have to go through that whole, situation that we have in the past where you speak to multiple people. You know, if you're lucky, maybe they had documented somewhere in a database what some of your preferences are. But it's to a whole new level now, right? It's almost like, you know, when you think about an airline club and there's different tiers of status as you fly more, and the higher your status, the more custom the experience feels. That's to me how AI is starting to feel more and more, but it's starting to level that playing field so everybody can have that, you know, 1K, experience, even if
right.
You
give me that diamond status, even though I'm brand new, right? That diamond feeling, even though I'm brand new.
Yes, 100%.
And if someone is really connecting with you, they want to learn more, they want to talk about AI, want to learn more about Field and partnerships, where can they find you online?
They could find me on LinkedIn. I love to connect with other people that share, you know, my passion, obviously, for AI and bold leadership and the impact on how we, you know, how we're living, how we're working, and in our day-to-day lives.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on The Growth Signal. This was a really fascinating conversation.
Yeah. Thank you, Alyssa.